Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Mail call!
It's a mailbag Monday with a Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Ask us whatever. Ask us anything. Aaron Rodgers apparently is going to the Jets.
Okay.
90% chance. Trey Wingo is reporting that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a New York Jet. What did he say?
I'm just curious for what.
Hearing Rodgers to the Jets is done. History about to repeat itself between New York and Green Bay. This is indeed a flat circle. And then Garrett Wilson said he can now enjoy his vacation. As one who owns Garrett Wilson in some dynasty leagues, I am a big fan of Aaron Rodgers headed to the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Love,
someone that owns
love that of, for Garrett Wilson.
I own a lot of stock in Christian Watson in my dynasty league.
Oh, yikes.
We forgot to give him the other nickname that was created on Friday. I think he's going to like that.
For who?
Jake.
Y'all gave Jake a nickname? Here's my question on our mailbag Monday. What is Jake's nickname?
The Red Weasel.
Yeah.
Instead of the Red Rocket?
Yeah.
Why is he a weasel?
Well, because he's always weaseling in everything, man. In every corner of every nook and cranny of everything.
I'm trying to be nicer to people.
You weren't before the last you said about him. Before you,
I didn't say anything personal about him, though.
You were too.
I just said his take sucked. That's a huge difference.
That's not personal. Your take.
That's not personal.
That's Joel's nickname. I just laughed.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. You said, that's Blanker's nickname.
Go back and listen to the tape when you said that is a great nickname. I love that nickname.
It's funny. I love.
Okay.
The Red Weasel signed Joel Blank.
The Red Weasel's giddy because he got his guy.
I don't blame him. I got some Garrett Wilson stock. I'm all in favor of this.
They ain't winning the AFC.
We'll try to figure out if there's any what the contracts. Well, I guess it wouldn't be a contract. It'd be
a
trade.
Can they even win the AFC East?
I don't think they
absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely.
You have a team absolutely. In your division where if their quarterback is healthy, they have two of the premier cornerbacks in the NFL with Xavier Howard and Jalen Ramsey. And on the offensive side, they have Tyreek Hill and Jalen
Waddle. I'm not worried about the Bills.
I know I'm not.
I'm not worried.
I don't think they're winning the division, and they're definitely not winning the AFC.
They could win the division.
Bye bye, Princess.
I think they could win the division.
It just sucks because now my football team is not going to be very good.
I think Jordan Love's got a shot.
I do.
All right, what are your questions for the Killer Bees? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Let me ask this one quite a while ago on our Twitch. We've been saving it in our queue. You can fire one person in pro sports today. Who is it?
In all of pro sports?
You can fire one person in pro sports today.
Rob Manfred.
Who is it? Ooh. That's not a bad one.
That's a really good choice.
Yeah. Now, I don't hate what Manfred's doing recently, though. I like the bigger bases.
Up for all the missteps he's done since he's been in office. Rob Manfred.
I thought for sure you would say Rafael Stone.
No, that's too easy.
Man, Robert Manfred's OG, a really good one.
OG on Twitch. That's it. That's for him to figure out.
Who would you fire? One person in sports that you can fire, Joe George.
Man, would it be? I don't know now.
You were
going
to go Manfred?
Were you going to say that?
It wasn't. So I'll go with one that just, to me, this doesn't apply necessarily to everyone in this audience except for the obsessed NHL to Houston people, but I would put Gary Bettman at the top of my list. I think he's...
Yeah. That's just not going to move needles in Houston.
But
yeah.
You know what? When they hired him, he left the NBA league office and he was right under David Stern. Mm-hmm. And the expectations were massive. And he has been a huge disappointment.
Oh, Adam Silver?
No. Gary Bettman came out of David Stern's office.
That's right.
I think I got to go Steven Silas. Like, I want my teams to be influenced here more than anything else. Like, I agree that Manfred's a fraud and firing him will be great. I don't think that has tremendous impact in the Houston teams. I mean, the Astros have won plenty with Manfred at the helm.
You get a new guy in charge and he starts exposing and not being, after the fact, trying to hide.
That's more wins off the field than on the field, probably, which is significant. I'm not saying it's not. I'm going to go with Silas. I'll go with Steven Silas because I want this Houston Rocket team to really be a factor in the NBA going forward. I think they have a chance to with certain players that they have, with certain players they will bring in. I think that they need a basketball authority, though. They need a grown-up in the room.
Yeah, but I think that starts above him.
Maybe. Now, I'm of the belief that if you bring in Emi Udoka, that he could come in and be that voice even with Stone around. But I, more than anything, I want an authority figure that is responsible for basketball for the Houston Rockets.
Just so remember, I would probably all go the things that I've been telling you guys, including you, Stump, since you've joined the show, about everything that's going on in that building and keeps going on in that building. And it isn't just about Rafael. It's about Kevin Porter Jr. And it's about – the only thing I would say is it's got to be a package deal. That's why it's – I wouldn't say Stone or Silas. I think they both have to go in order for you to start trying to get things right.
948 says that Brad, I'm saying other people's takes are bad. It's pure comedy, LOL, laughing emoji. He then also says fire Knicks James Dolan. I think we have found Jake Asman's burner. What are your questions for the Killer Bees? Our Mailbag Monday.
Can I fire Kevin Porter Jr.?
713-780. That's a good call. I'm all in favor of that.
We didn't say cutting players, so.
That's a big topic on Twitter today.
Yeah.
It should be.
Would you cut Kevin Porter?
He's sitting
Jr.?
There pouting. You see him pouting?
Oh, I saw the video.
You saw him pouting?
Uh-huh.
Like, come on, man. That dude does not need to be on this team. Move on. Move on.
I've also said that.
Kevin Porter. Here's my question for the Killer Bees. Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. James Harden or Kevin Porter Jr.? Who would you rather be the Rockets point guard next year?
James Harden.
You are such a.
It's
idiot.
A great. It's God, not. It's a great question.
Question.
Yeah, you
it's
asked,
a great
I hate
question.
Your question.
That's a great question. It makes you think.
Because they're
it
all,
challenges you.
Because no matter what you answer, you know you're going to hate your answer.
Exactly. So there's no right answer.
But I think this one is actually there is a right answer.
I do too.
And I think it's James Harden by a million miles.
One of them leads the league in assists. The other one quits on a play.
I'm not a KPJ guy.
It's not like James Harden's never quit on a play.
I'd rather him quit on a play because at least he's good when he plays.
50 or 100.
That's a good point. Touche.
Jeez. I'm abstaining.
Abstaining.
I'm abstaining.
I got another
he took the
one.
Fifth.
Anyone
he took
I could
the
fire?
Fifth on our sports talk show host.
Right. You know what? When the Rockets are good again,
yeah,
I'm going to fire Scott Foster so to make sure that he's not out there.
Chris Paul would like that.
Because he is a terrible
not just Chris
ref.
Paul. Like, now James Harden's in that camp from this last. Did you see the call the other night?
Donaghy, he might not be too happy about it. Stern wouldn't be happy about it. Rest in peace.
The call the other night. Scott Foster's still going to Scott Foster. Every time I'm watching a game on League Pass and he happens to be reffing, he is going to at least on one or two calls, just to spite everyone in the home crowd, he's going to make a call or two just to get under their skin. He is annoying.
713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Eric the Driver, do y'all think Muay Thai or BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, is a more effective style? I'm going to go Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think Jiu-Jitsu is a more effective style.
I've heard nothing but good things about Muay Thai from Nick and Barry over the years, so I'm going to go Muay Thai.
I had some Thai food in Fort Worth this week.
I don't think it's the food.
It's so good. I know, but I like Jiu-Jitsu. I think Jiu-Jitsu is the way to go.
Sure. I love the
Thanks
UFC.
For participating,
like, I watched the fight this weekend. I don't even remember if it was the UFC where the guy got his kneecap shattered. It looked
ooh,
like.
That does not sound comfortable.
It looked ugly.
4488 says, does U of H, instead of doing UH, you type it UH, you say it U of H. Does U of H match up with Purdue? Which team wins it all, not named U of H? I'll let y'all take that because I have very, I think Cougars, I want the Cougars to win it all.
Of course you should.
In that.
Well, Purdue would that be in the championship?
I think it would be in the championship.
Honestly, I don't think Purdue makes it out of the second round. So
you Memphis. Think they're going to be by Memphis?
Yep.
That would be.
Or who's Memphis playing?
I think that's a style
FAU?
Game.
Memphis is playing FAU in the first
FAU's
round.
FAU's played really well this year, so I think Memphis or FAU knocks out Purdue
Memphis,
in the second round.
Memphis almost beat Gonzaga last year in that second round game. They came very close. They led late.
Yeah, I know Sasser's
they're dangerous.
Hurt, but like Memphis
is dangerous.
Yeah,
Memphis
they are, but and adding Davis is a big add for them, but I think that the other they can also crap the bed, and that's scary to me because sometimes their lack of defense, when we talk about defense travels for the Cougs,
yeah.
But I think Purdue is extremely vulnerable. If Purdue's guards can, they make shots, they can play with anybody. When Purdue's guards don't make shots, you can expose the rest of that team, and they can be bad in a hurry.
Can't you say that about every college team, though? Like, if the guards make shots that
not
game, they
can win. Not necessarily,
because
a lot of college teams have good wing players that can take over a game. They can isolate.
Yeah,
and you can give them the ball and get out of the way. I think Purdue, in that kind of traditional Big Ten mold of being able to kick it in and then dump it out outside for jumpers.
Yeah.
They got some young guards that have to make shots for them to be successful, and if they aren't making shots, they are extremely vulnerable.
I love watching ED play. It kind of reminds me of Yao Ming whenever he was with the Rockets.
A lot.
I love to watch him play. But you're right, because they're gonna force other people to beat them, not ED. They're gonna double team. They're gonna force the perimeter shooters to knock down some perimeter jumpers. So I think
ED to me is just a very slow.
Memphis is very athletic
fluid
too.
Yao.
Memphis, I mean, Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, like one of the best duos in college basketball.
They can change a game when they get hot. They can go on a run that can absolutely bury you.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that they use everything that they can, from intimidation and talking, and when they want to, they can just be athletic as hell on defense and be all over swarming and then turn defense into offense. They're dangerous.
I hope a team doesn't lose to Memphis because they talk good.
No, but there are teams that succumb to that. There are teams that aren't used to a team that comes in and tries to...
Shouldn't be Purdue, though.
Eh, Big Ten.
You saying the Big Ten's soft?
Yeah.
Oh.
Big Ten's not good this year.
I just didn't expect that from Blankers.
They got
though.
Way too We're many teams
We're both Big
in
Ten
the
guys. Yeah, no. The Big Ten is way overrated.
1-4-3-6. Bryce Young, barely 6 feet, 190 pounds, soaking wet. Caleb Williams, almost 6'2", 220. Why is he not on our board, this year's Heisman Trophy winner? Well, he's not eligible to be drafted right until next year. So that's why he's not on the Texans board.
Thanks for joining the Killer Bees.
Ocho, was Kendrick Davis snub for Marcus Sasser for the AAC Player of the Year Award? And did yesterday's performance remind you of Olajuwon's dominance in the 95 Western Conference Finals? Kendrick Davis was great yesterday. Mm-hmm. Marcus Sasser did not play. Cougars erring on the side of caution. Would that game have been different if the American Conference Player of the Year played? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think that Davis was snubbed, though. Marcus Sasser is the best two-way guard in the American Conference and deserves the American Conference Player of the Year.
And he's also, from a size perspective and everything that he brings to the table, I think Sasser's well-roundedness means a lot, as I've said, to the Cougars. And I think that they had nothing to play for except for that title. They had too much to lose if Sasser played and really aggravated that injury. And there was no way I thought he was going to play. I know that both sides are going to say, you know, the what ifs of if he did play. The bottom line is, congrats to Memphis. They won the conference title. But the more important thing is you need Sasser healthy for the tournament.
I have a question.
What's that?
Shams Charania today reported that the NBA and the NBA Players Association are working out a deal to tie games played as a requisite to win MVP and other awards. Do you guys like this? And think it will help get star players to play more often.
Well, first of all, they're doing it to try and create less of the
load management. Yeah.
But I think that's a tough one. But I also think the voters factor it in whether it's a rule or not. I think most voters look at it and say, like Embiid a year ago, I thought Embiid should have won it a year ago, but they looked at the amount of games that he missed. And so whether it's a true factor in it because it's now it's a rule and criteria or not, I think the voters will still use it in their decision.
I don't think there's a good fix there. I don't think it's possible to fix this.
The only thing that'd be interesting is if this is going to include, I think, the all-pro teams, because that does have a direct correlation to the max
supermax
contract,
supermaxes
you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you can remove them from being all-pro, then that I think is interesting. Because now you're talking about
games missed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, what do you do for a player that's hurt? That seems incredibly unfair for somebody who gets hurt.
Well, but they wouldn't be all pro anyways, most likely, right? Like, if you miss 40 games because you're hurt, you're likely not going to be all pro.
Yeah.
So, I'm guessing the limit is going to be like 65
games.
First
three teams all NBA are now a factor in contracts, but I don't think that it's going to...
I'm cool with that. 65 games? Let's go 65,
you know what?
Though.
It might motivate players.
I'm still missing 17 games, so maybe it's not enough.
It's not going to be a fix. Like, you put 70, there's no way the NBAPA is agreeing to that. There's no chance.
But they're agreeing to it. So that's
why that number is not going to be 70.
Yeah.
The number is going to be, I think, 65 maximum.
You're still missing 12 games out of load management. Like,
I don't mind that.
Maybe they let you designate load management as a
see you know
a
what this
games.
Is like with the concussion protocol and all the other things with the blue tent in football. Then you're going to start bringing in third party arbiters in the medical profession to try to determine the legitimacy of injuries, and then it's just going to get all convoluted. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, there's don't put more like rules and provisions. Like, I don't like that at all. 713-780-ESPN. NFL free agency has arrived. Who are the Texans linked to? Who's your number one target? They might have already signed mine. I'm also, these Kansas City Laremy Tunsil rumors, I already thought they were BS, but now one huge item drop that is going to eliminate that. But can Laremy Tunsil potentially be on the trade block? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. It's the best Italian food in and around the city. And believe me, everybody that keeps going there keeps raving and talking about how delicious the food was. And you can talk about the listeners that have won Frankie's Friday Fire, like Big C Clarence, who was just talking and raving and talking to me about how great the food was. And then he saw some dishes being delivered to other tables and said, next time I go back, I'm trying that. And then the time after that, I'm trying that. That's the way people treat Frankie's. They go there because it doesn't matter what fork you use and what you're wearing. That you go there because you come in hungry, you leave full, and you love how delicious and fresh the food is. The atmosphere is great. It's relaxing. It's easy to just kind of make yourself at home. And then you can do a variety of things. You can start with a cocktail and maybe finish watching it, having a few more, watching some games on their 8 big screen TVs at Dino's Bar. But then you get down to business when you get into the food and all the great appetizers and the main courses and the desserts that Chris Smith and his staff put out there for you on a daily basis. It's great on the weekends for brunches as well. The Italian brunches are absolutely fantastic. They have lunch specials every day. You got to try it for yourself and figure out this hidden gem that is just spectacular when it comes to Italian food. Check out their menu and all the things that they have to offer at Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com and make it a priority to try and get in there and taste some of that great Italian food right off of Highway 99. If you're in the Richmond, Sugarland, Katy area, you're right where you need to be. But even if it's the drive that bothers you a little bit, the food's going to more than make up for it. Tell them I sent you by. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
NFL free agency kicking off today. A lot going on. The biggest news, Case Keenum's coming back to Houston. It's the biggest news of the day. Case
Spoken
Keenum
like a true kook.
Is going to be with the Houston Texans, reunite. I asked Bill O'Brien one time. Remember he cut Case Keenum or whatever, however yeah. Case Keenum left? And then Case Keenum wrote in his book about how Bill O'Brien was basically like...
bullying.
Let me find a nice way to say this. A jerk. Yeah. And I asked Bill O'Brien about what Case Keenum wrote about Bill O'Brien in his book, because they were playing the Broncos, they were going up against Case, and then Bill O'Brien played dumb. He's like, oh, I guess I have to order it on Amazon, and then walked off, left the press conference after that. But I love that Case Keenum's back. I'm realistic on what Case Keenum means to this team, though. It means he's your backup. It means he's your veteran mentor that's mentoring a young quarterback that's probably going to be a rookie drafted in the first round.
Not trying to be a long-term starter.
No.
Not trying to be what you don't need with this franchise. And being a big brother and a mentor while being a short-term fix from at some point if needed. So I'm also very good with this. I can't imagine they overpaid for him. And I think it's an ideal match made from him playing here and calling Houston home and the Texans with both on and off the field a feel-good moment for the fan base and the franchise and the roster.
Yeah. Biggest quarterback news of the day. Case Keenum returning home to Houston.
Sure, for now.
To be the veteran to whoever the rookie quarterback's going to be. Somebody asked about Davis Mills, like, what is his status? I think Davis Mills is still going to be on this roster. I really
Unless,
do.
You know what? He's probably not going to be happy with it. But like you said, he's under contract at a very cheap price, so you don't really have to worry about it. But I think this news today adds more fuel to the fire that I think I've talked about being there, which is he and his agent are going to continue to push and demand, not demand per se, but push and keep suggesting that he be traded and moved on to go elsewhere. Because now not only are you not the starter, but you're probably not the backup either.
Rookie Keenum Mills, three quarterbacks.
But like, what are these guys worth? I mean, there was a report, Davis Mills, there was a report today that the Panthers are going to shop Matt Corral.
Mm-hmm. They're worth fifth, sixth round picks.
Seventh rounders?
They're late round flyers.
Yeah, Mills.
I'll tell you what I would do if they'd be open to it, I'd flip them.
Oh, I would do that in a heartbeat.
You take Davis Mills, we'll take Matt Corral, we'll take our chances.
All
I like
that.
You got one more year of club control of Corral than you do Davis Mills.
Like
Mills has not been a starter. Corral's coming off an injury, so he's more like Not that I care about Davis Mills' feelings, but he'd be more accepting, perhaps, of the role. That's somehow not a bad idea. Yeah,
there you go. If somehow Frank Reich saw enough when they played the Texans to go, you know what, I see some things in this kid, and they're willing to do that, I'd flip him.
So Brandon Cooks, Davis Mills, and the second pick for Matt Corral in the first pick. Got it.
No chance, but good try.
Got it.
I would do that.
Well, I don't think they would.
I'm not. Why?
I mean, Brandon Cooks would make some sense for Carolina.
Yeah, if Carolina,
after trading DJ Moore.
If Carolina's content with both Young and Stroud, and they view them as the same level of prospect, and they love them both equally, which sounds like a long shot. I understand that. Like, how do you love one guy more than the other? Maybe they look at them as their kids. They love them the same. But if they love Bryce Young and CJ Stroud the exact same, their whole goal is to trade down to number two and try to extract as much as they can from the Texans. The Texans are saying, we're absolutely not giving you a draft pick. Carolina, as Joe George said, they have no weapons for their quarterback. I think Carolina would do that if they love Bryce Young and CJ Stroud the same. I think they would.
They might. I just think that, you know, I've pushed this from the very beginning from the time the season ended. Davis Mills does not want to be a member of the Houston Texans. And the Texans, again, if they're truly about culture and they realize, you know, just what level this dude is going to be at in terms of how disgruntled he's going to be. And I don't expect him to be like Cooks and Tunsil. But, I mean, that's just, as you were mentioning that about Matt Corral, I think that scenarios like that are worth looking into because you don't take a complete L on the deal. You don't have to just take a sixth or a seventh pick to get rid of Davis Mills. And you get a young guy that maybe you could develop into something, which is exactly what you thought you were doing with Mills.
Yeah. The big quarterback of the news. I was tongue-in-cheek with Case, although I am very excited about that. Trey Wingo, first one to report this, that the Jets and Rodgers are a done deal, that it's going to happen, that Aaron Rodgers will be a New York Jet.
Now, Ian Rapoport immediately went on the NFL Network and said that's not the case.
Really?
Yeah. That's not done yet.
So I was saying to Joe during the break, the interesting thing that Rodgers was really big on, which he pushed with McAfee and others, is if you're breaking news about me or you're talking to the Schefters and the Rappaports of the world, then you're definitely not in my inner circle. And you're not. And if I find out that you are and you did, you're not going to be. And he tried to play all tough with that, too. So I know that he's been chummy with Trey Wingo over the years and done some solids for him with interviews. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that if the news is going to break, the princess is going to want the spotlight on him.
Probably.
He's not going to want someone to be putting it out there on Twitter first.
When does he go on McAfee?
Tomorrow.
Tuesday. There you go.
There you go.
I mean,
there you
go. Garrett Wilson just keeps tweeting. He said, y'all should see the smile on me right now.
Also, Trey Wingo was the first one to report that the Jets met with him, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was Diana Rossini.
I think Rossini was after Wingo.
I don't know. We'd have to
call
check.
Up Jake. Jake will know.
Yeah,
we'll ask
will.
Jake. And I'm pretty sure that Wingo was the first one, even before Rossini.
Jake was on stalker watch for, 2 weeks?
Was he?
He took off work just so he could try and see where Rogers' house
was.
I actually think what happened
was Adam Schefter killed Jake temporarily when he tweeted out on Thursday that the Jets have made a trade, .. And then 30 seconds later tweeted they traded a seventh round pick.
What did you say Jake's nickname was?
The Red Weasel.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's your name for him. Not mine.
Okay, fine.
For me, it's J-A-K-E, Jake. First player the Texans are linked to in free agency. Move those needles. DJ Bienemy, our friend, DJ Bienemy, mm-hmm. who blew us off for a segment. The Texans have shown interest in center. I know he did. He's a nice guy. The Texans have shown interest in center Jake Brindle. Per league sources, Brindle started 17 games for the Niners in 22, allowed one sack, 12 pressures in his lone
Shocker,
season.
Start. A Niner.
The Texans need a starting center. I want a veteran center, not a rookie center, because I think it's a good pairing with a rookie quarterback. If it's somebody they know, somebody that Bobby Slowick is comfortable with, somebody that D'Amico Ryans is comfortable with, cool. I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with Jake Brindle being the Houston Texans starting center in 2023.
Yeah, no, look, and it makes perfect sense. As much as people want to get away from being Patriot South, Get ready to be Niners East, because it's just a natural correlation between coaches and players that if someone that they've worked with and they either saw something in or got results out of, that they will kick the tires on said player again and be first in line. It's the Van Gundy system. People used to call it Van Gundy University, because if you were ever in any kind of team or team situation with Jeff Van Gundy, Van Gundy U was going to find a job for you at some point in your career later on down the road. That's why all the former Knicks found a way to have tryouts and or time with the Rockets. Coaches, same thing. People in the front office, same thing, as much as he could. This is the same thing with the Niners now. The same way you had negative connotations with Patriot South, see how you feel now about Niners East, because it's going to happen.
Who is a free agent or a position that you want to be the top target, or the just a position even for the Houston Texans?
I think there's several for me, but I've said guard, right guard, center, and I think anywhere on the defense where D'Amico's going to start looking at guys that he's had some kind of relationship with or know about.
Those are it for me, the positions too. The guards that I looked at this early in free agency, like right when it was starting, I like the idea of Isaac Samalo, who was a guard at Philly. Ben Powers makes a lot of sense. He's in his mid-20s. Like, he's somebody that you can sign in free agency that is not only like a gap, but like he's 26 years old. He could be with the Houston Texans for a while. One position that I also want the Texans to sign a player, not draft a player, is safety. Because there are so many good safeties that are out in free agency that I'm a fan of, like Jimmy Ward. Now, he's a little bit on the older end. I know a lot of people are pairing Ward and D'Amico together because of their time in San Francisco. But Rapp from the Rams, Bell from Cincinnati are guys that I like. Bates from Cincinnati as well. And then Gardner Johnson. Like, there's so many good safeties on the market that I think could be a fit for D'Amico Ryans that I want a veteran next to Jalen Petrie. I don't want a rookie next to Jalen Petrie.
You don't think Jonathan Owens played well enough to just bring him back and run it back?
You referring to Jonathan Biles?
Yes.
Jonathan Biles you're referring to? Yes. I didn't think so. I really didn't. I think that's Jonathan Biles is like a third safety. Like, if they bring back Jonathan Biles and he's on the roster, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
But I don't want him to be a starter. Like, I don't think that Jonathan Biles, quite frankly, is a starting level caliber safety in the NFL. I think he's a backup safety in the NFL.
I just don't want to pay big for a safety.
I don't want to pay big for a safety either. Like, but I don't want to draft a safety in the top three rounds.
I think roster matters and the situation matters. I think Jonathan Owens is fine for now if you want to bring him back for another year. But in a year's time, hopefully, you're having a different conversation. And now you've got a different kind of defensive coordinator or coordinators in place to where you're going to have to find out how they feel and what they see as the characteristics of that position before you do anything else. But I don't want them to overpay on a big-time safety right now either.
But I don't want to overpay, but I don't think you're going to have to overpay because I think that the free agency market's kind of oversaturated with safeties. So I think you're going to get a really good safety for a low dollar. And quite frankly, with this defense, I don't want Jalen Petrie and a rookie as my two safeties that is very prominent in a D'Amico Ryans defense. I want Jalen Petrie, a second-year guy with a really good veteran who I think that you can find at a good bargain deal. 713-780-ESPN. Who's your one player? What's your one position that you want the Texans to be targeting in free agency? 713-780-3776. I got to be honest with you, Blankers. For a spring training weekend in March, like, we're not going to lose our minds over spring training, but for a spring training weekend in March, could things have gone better for the Houston Astros? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about Doc Linville and the unbelievable procedure known as neo-grafting. It's fantastic. I believe he's the best in the business at doing it. He does it right here in Houston, Texas, and he can do it for you. He did it for me. He did it for Jake. He did it for John Granato. He's done it for Fred Fowler and others. And you can be next in line. It's a game changer because if you have balding, thinning areas on your head and you think your only option is to just shave it all off, it's not. And don't bother spending time and wasting money on all the sprays and creams and foams. Just look at what Doc Linville can do for you with this procedure. And as a listener of ESPN 97.5, you can get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It costs you absolutely nothing. There's no obligation at all. Whereas anybody else off the street, it costs $150 just to meet with him and his staff. Now you can get all the answers and see if it's right for you too. It's really great. And I'll give you the spoiler alert. The one that got me was 95%+. And like he likes to say, between 95 and 99% of all the follicles moved are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul. That's right. Because literally they're taking follicles from where you have hair and you're never going to lose it. Genetically, you're never going to lose the sides and the back. No matter how bad the front and the back up on top is, you're going to have hair on the sides and the back. He repurposes follicles, and they stay, they grow, they continue to get longer and stronger and better and the more that they have a chance to really settle in. It's a fantastic procedure. I'm so glad I did it. It might be right for you, too. Check him out today and see if it might be right. It is the 975hair.com. Go see my friend at Doc Linville's office.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Great Britain is on our television. Who are they playing, Great Britain? They're playing
they
Columbia.
Uniforms.
Yeah, the Times New Roman font across their chest is the Great Britain uniform. Not so great.
No.
Maybe some of the worst jerseys I've ever seen.
They are the worst.
They are awful. Jeremy and I were talking about before the show.
Look
I
at
asked
that thing.
If he had seen them. They're just god-awful.
It's really like an early version of a video game, and you get to make custom jerseys, but they just haven't advanced technology at all.
Or it's like your Little League team had special ordered uniforms, and they didn't come in on time, and so you went down to the local t-shirt shop and just said, hey, throw Great Britain on the front of these things. We need something.
Yeah,
they're
It's really sad, actually, watching.
I wouldn't play for Great Britain if those were the uniforms. I'd be like, no, I'm out. I'm good. I don't need WBC in my life. I don't need to do that. They're hideous. Anyways, for spring training weekend in March, not that significant, let's be honest. Like, we're looking forward to opening day. Astros ready to reign, looking for back-to-back titles. I'm not sure that things could have gone better than this weekend, though, for the Houston Astros. The demise of Hunter Brown, greatly exaggerated, went three no-hit innings yesterday, looked good doing it, struck out, I think, three. I think he had three punchies in the process as well. Lance McCullers Jr. is throwing a baseball, which is always big news and news you don't see all the time because most of the time Lance McCullers Jr. is not throwing a baseball.
See you in August.
Why? You tell me. Yordan Alvarez is starting to swing a bat, and Dusty Baker saying that it's still the plan that he is with the Astros on opening day. Michael Brantley came back today. Corey Lee's hitting a home run. He's playing first base today a little bit as well, so maybe some position flexibility in the life of Corey Lee. If we want to get hot take overreaction for Houston Astros spring training action, this weekend is one
to
celebrate.
Well, Luis Garcia pitched well.
Yeah, he pitched well in the WBC. Yep, he's looking really good.
He looked really good, had three punchies. Today, Christian Javier, if you want to do the extended weekend, pitched really well.
He's wearing some bling, too. Did you see that?
He's wearing what?
He's wearing some bling.
No, I didn't see that.
He's wearing a little bit of bling.
He can wear whatever he wants if he keeps mowing guys down like that. Look, again, much to do about nothing early on except for McCullers and Yordan. Those are still the big concerns. But everything else falling into place to where if a Garcia, a guy that we haven't really talked about at the top of the rotation because we've been rightfully talking about the two guys that are going to have places there already being Christian Javier and Framber Valdez, and now you throw a Garcia in the mix, now it's less of a top priority on McCullers, but just a when. And just as long as when he comes back, he's good, you're still in a really good position. And again, Hunter Brown, we said he was working on some things. We'll wait till later in the spring to really, before we start getting any kind of concern with him. Now that he's doing what he's supposed to do, I know some people really like, how can you, you know, you can't say that when Forrest Whitley was sent down again, and he was rightfully sent down. And it's one thing if Forrest Whitley's working on things.
That was always going to be this
case,
though.
Of course, but after that, again, because of how social media works.
Yeah.
Once they saw that video, Forrest Whitley's ready, man. Don't worry about Lance. He's going to be your sixth starter. He's going to be fantastic. No, he's going to be sent down to minor league camp, and you may never see him again. So we'll see what happens with Forrest Whitley. But him working on things as opposed to Hunter Brown working on things, two different scenarios.
Sure.
I think it was a very, very good weekend for the Astros across the board.
Great weekend for the Astros. Could Corey Lee actually be a thing? Like, is there a chance that Corey Lee, I'm not going to say he's going to be the Jeremy Pena because he's not going to get the opportunity of a Jeremy Pena. Right. But could we be looking at the makings of what could potentially, after the Maldonado era is over, which I think this is Martin Maldonado's final year as a Houston Astro. Once Maldi is gone, could we be looking at a decade of Corey Lee behind the backstop? I'm starting to think that he's going to be the next catcher one for the Astros, at least through his contract, through his 6 years of the club years, I guess, after
if
Maldi.
If he's a bat that you just can't keep out of the lineup because of the fact that he's a proven catcher that can hit or just an offensive commodity, then if he can play first base, if he can DH, if he can do things, there's a roster spot for him no matter what. But if he can prove to be what you need him to be as the heir apparent to Maldi, then, and I was trying to think of the upside. The upside to me is
Maldi thinks it's JT Realmuto.
Is what?
Corey Lee. That's Corey Lee's upside. Is JT Realmuto?
I think that's too high.
I think so too. I don't think it's fair.
What's the kid from that was just traded from the A's to the Braves?
Sean Murphy.
I think the upside on him, the ceiling is around Sean Murphy.
Cool.
Yeah, right. I would take that
but
in a
saying,
heartbeat.
If that's your ceiling and it's Sean Murphy, I'm great with that.
I think one other thing, though, with Corey Lee, though, that's interesting is, like, we for so long, we've been so ingrained of talking about pitch framing.
Yeah.
And how important that is. He probably isn't going to have to frame pitches as the primary catcher because we're going to have robots.
Yep.
So, like, yes, calling a game, preparing the game plan, all that stuff that Maldi's so clearly great at now. But, like, he's not going to have to be a pitch framer in a year.
Exactly.
It's all gone.
And they also like him defensively now, where he can improve what you talked about. Like, his framing is not Maldonado. Calling a game, which I think calling a game is, quite frankly, the most underrated thing in baseball. I quite frankly think it is. Because, like,
underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
I think agree it's completely with that right underrated. Now, currently it is, yes.
Let's make a cross-sport reference. How important is it for the defense to call plays against the offense? Incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for an offense to have a game plan of how to attack a defense? Incredibly important. Sure. It's why we put so much value on the offensive that, yep. play caller and how much value we put on the defensive play caller. What's different between a catcher calling the pitches and how to attack a dude that's trying to score runs against you? I don't think there's that much of a difference. I think it's one of the most underrated things in baseball, and I think it's why the Astros have had Martin Maldonado in such high regard. That's where Corey Lee's going to have to develop.
Offense.
No, it's not his offense.
You know, and you know what? With the nickname the machete, yeah, he can still cut people down. I mean, yeah, he can throw guys out. But I think that we've talked about the fact from coach to psychologist is one thing with mound visits and his ability to kind of keep the right frame of mind for the different personalities he has in his rotation. But more so than anything else, it's he controls the entire game from behind the plate. And he's in such control of everything that as a manager, as a fan, you never have to worry. Maldi's got this. He knows the situation and he knows how to handle things.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about Corey Lee filling shoes because no matter what he does offensively, you can't be Gary Sanchez behind the plate.
Exactly. Now, he is known for defense. Like, he is a good defender. People like his defense. Now, him calling a game is a completely different beast. Like, that's something where I think he can really benefit with a year under Martin Maldonado. But if you were to have just, you know, let's just say each one of those guys, Maldonado, Corey Lee, they both had 130 games. They both had 500 at-bats. I believe that right now Corey Lee would have a better offensive season than Martin Maldonado. I don't think that that's really controversial. I don't really think it's up for debate, quite honestly. But where Maldonado gets the edge is because of how he handles the pitchers and how important that is. Again, I think it's one of the most underrated things in all of baseball. So I'm not pushing for Corey Lee to start over Martin Maldonado. I just think that Corey Lee is going to be, quite honestly, I think Corey Lee is going to be a major league starting catcher in this league for the next 10 years. I really do. And I'm not expecting like Corey Lee to be JT Realmuto. But if he's Sean Murphy, great. Look what Sean Murphy got traded for this season. I think that Corey Lee might have a little more power than Murphy, but maybe not as much average. Coug Blaze is saying, is Justin Durden making the team? It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Brantley and Yordan
Alvarez.
Brantley's
the big deciding factor in all that.
Right.
He's the wild card.
If Brantley does not start the year with the Astros, does not start on the opening day roster, maybe Yordan doesn't either. But I believe that if Yordan and Brantley are both on the opening day roster, then Yiner Diaz and Justin Durden will not start on the opening day roster.
Right.
Now, if one of those guys is on the injured list, let's just assume it's Michael Brantley, I think that Durden's going to make the team. I think it's going to come down to Durden and Yiner Diaz. And I think that the Astros rather go with Durden than Diaz.
It's tough to say that you can, you know, you base a lot off of spring training games, especially for veterans. But if you got a guy that's hitting the ball well and having pop and doing something that right now, quite honestly, from your backup outfield positions especially, you need a little bit more pop. You need a little bit more offense. You know guys that can play defense. But if he keeps producing and showing you that he's capable, then you got to give that. That's got to factor in, and he was the hot bat early on in camp.
He was plus, good last year too.
Plus, you need an outfielder. Like if Brantley doesn't start the year with the team, like you're going to go Yordan Alvarez every single day in left field. Personally, I'm not a big fan of that. Do you want to see some sort of rotation in left field, center field with Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick? Like you need a body that can fill that position. Yeah, Mauricio Dubon can fill that position, but I don't want Mauricio Dubon starting many games in the outfield. I think Durden will be on the opening day roster if Brantley does not make it.
And if Brantley,
I think he played a little center. Yeah,
it's one thing if you say if Brantley's not playing opening day, but if Brantley is literally put on the injured list because of the fact that it's going to be a while,
I
then
think
absolutely.
I think it's 50-50 right now. I think it's 50-50. And I've even heard that Brantley might just miss like the first week of the season.
I kept saying it before, and I said it even after Dusty said he's going to be fine, and Dana Brown said that I don't expect him and I don't need to see him in the early season, opening day or otherwise. I need Michael Brantley in October. So if it takes a while to get him there, I know there's clauses and incentives in his contract and all that stuff, but at least short term, let's not get him back and rush him back where he could do some damage. Wait till he's 100%. You'll be fine with Michael Brantley.
The personal issues were something that, you know, we didn't know was going to happen, where he was missed probably about a week and a half worth of camp. But
even before that, they were really slow rolling him on the comeback.
There. Sure, but that now all of a sudden became a variable. Now Durden playing center field. McTaggart told us he can. Like McTaggart mentioned
on our air,
he said he mentioned to us Justin Durden could potentially be a center fielder for this team. Somebody else, Kugblaze asking, not Kugblaze, where did he go? Oh, Degenerate. Can Hensley play the outfield? I don't know that he can.
I don't think so.
In the offseason it was kicked around a bit that they might be able to try him out in left field to see if he could, you know, give you some innings in left field. But I don't think we've seen him actually in a spring training game in left. So that kind of hurts his positional flexibility a bit.
And something else to keep an eye on. Dusty said that he should be good for the split squad games tomorrow, but Jake Myers is dealing with a tight hamstring. Mm. He's battling.
Discomfort?
Battling a tight hamstring. Gotta be discomfort.
They need to shut him down, too. There's no reason to like be battling in spring training.
So, but
like,
apparently he'll be ready for the split squad tomorrow, but...
That's more chance of Durden making the team. More chance of Durden making the team.
At least one of you liked my tweet that I put out there this weekend.
It wouldn't be me.
It was you, Joel.
What did I like?
That Phil Maton finally appeared.
Oh, I did like that. That was before I remembered how badly you were when you became Stump.
That's right,
Phil Maton. With your self-proclaimed nickname.
So now all the main starters, bullpen guys besides McCullers... have appeared in spring training.
That's great news. What a great weekend in March. Keith from L.A. saying you guys are overhyping spring training. I would understand
You're overhyping the Dodgers on a daily basis, Keith, and every L.A. team.
That's the point.
How's that worked out for you?
He's got a middle of the order that's all like collecting AARP. Like that Dodger lineup's old. It's very, very old.
At least Justin Turner's still there. Oh, no, he's not. At least Trey Turner's still. Oh, no. Okay, good luck.
All right, even the casuals are starting to see this Kevin Porter Jr. problem. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that's not a problem at all is that sportsbook inside of Circa. You need to know about it if you don't already know about it. Killer Bees in the wheelhouse going to Vegas, and we want you to join us. We go into the big tournament on March 23rd and 24th. We'll be staying, most of us, at the Circa Casino and Resort. We'll be there Thursday through Saturday, so please come on out and have some fun while the Killer Bees in the wheelhouse are there. Killer Bees in the wheelhouse will be watching sports at the largest sports book in Vegas, hanging out poolside, betting on sports, and of course, making some money. Bring your friends out to Circa to take in all the action with all four venues. Mega March at the Circa Sportsbook, Mania Under the Sun at Stadium Swim, The D Las Vegas, free watch parties at Galaxy Watch Zone, March Madness, some of the best time to get out to Vegas. Can't make it this March? Well, head out to Vegas whenever you can, this summer, this fall, whenever, and make sure you're headed to the Circa, the best sports book in Vegas. Parties start with the games in Dayton on March 15th. That's in 2 days. Groups of eight or more can book private man caves that include 4 70-inch HD TVs, Wi-Fi to make those bets, food and beverage, and more. You can find out more information and book today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jeff Passan's reporting that Trevor Bauer has a team. Trevor Bauer has signed with somebody. He has signed with the Yokohama DNA Bay Stars. I know it's Dina Bay Stars, but DNA sounds funny. Trevor Bauer going to pitch in Japan. Mm.
We were just having a conversation before the show of guys that may never get another job again or shouldn't or didn't.
He just did.
So there was a guy that I was going to be betting heavily was probably, well, and when we talked about it, I said the only flyer wild card could be a Kansas City or a team that's so desperate to just get any kind of attention at all to try and create some buzz and marketability.
Here's a question for you. How come a guy like Chris Beard gets an immediate job back in college basketball, but Trevor Bauer does not in baseball?
It's a good question because it depends on your stance as an organization and the individuals that are running its stance on domestic violence and the proof behind it, right? Because neither was convicted, but there was evidence against both. And then it's at what, like I said, at what level is it something that you have more issue with? Because for every indication with the proof that we saw or with the evidence that was brought forth, Beard didn't just do nothing, right? But what we saw from Trevor Bauer was at a different level of doing something. So it's a valid question.
You know what the difference is? Major League Baseball doesn't participate in the SEC. You can do whatever you want in the SEC as long as it translates and wins. I think that we've seen that over the last few weeks and months.
But we've seen a bunch of guys, Roberto Osuna, and guys like who have done things, domestic violence, that have played in baseball. I think there's also just, it's about talent and overall likability.
Yeah.
And no one likes Trevor Bauer. And his stats are inflated. And we all knew he was cheating more than pretty much everyone else with sticky stuff. When you look at his numbers, his spin rates, the way they increased in that one great season for the Dodgers, he's a total fraud. So I think it's just like no one would want him on your team. He is a clubhouse killer.
Yeah, he is.
You're right in that he – well, see, because here's what I was going to say. Yeah, he already had painted the picture of who he was prior to the underage girl on social media, you know, the snarkiness and the complete a-holeness of all the way he handled himself.
He missed the World Series because he of a cut drone his finger injury. On a drone.
Yeah.
He threw a baseball in the center field like a toddler. Like, he just kind of sucks.
But here's the other thing. I don't think Major League Baseball should be credited with how they policed the Bauer situation. The Dodgers should. Because as much as we all have rightful issues with everything from their fan base to their team to everything else, the fact is before baseball even could get to a point where they were going to actually make a decision and weigh all the facts in the case after the people in law did, the Dodger clubhouse basically came out and said, we don't want this guy back no matter what the verdict is. We don't want him in our clubhouse. We don't want him on our team. We don't want him to ever put on the uniform again. And I think to their credit, that was something that had to be done that Major League Baseball didn't want to do.
That a lot of that too was just the house cleaning. Like you had to, or the bookkeeping rather. Like you had to figure out a way of, like, the Dodgers wanted to void that contract, so they had to keep him on the roster to see how it all played out in the legal system to see if they could get some savings on the contract. So I think that's like a big reason why they kept him around, even though he wasn't with the team. Was like, okay, can we get out of this financially?
Just said, okay, regardless of whether he was convicted or not.
No, they did. They put him quickly on the whatever their exempt list is, or whatever. Yeah, they did pretty quick.
But I would, you know, it's real easy to just say, hey, regardless, the ban is in place. We're putting a ban. We'll tell you when it's lifted. If it's lifted, this is where we're at.
Yep.
And just kind of one finality real quick. This is where we're at right now. One and done. Here we go. Instead, it lingered. It was.
But I mean, you also have to let the justice system play out. Like if it all came back.
There's been plenty of time a league's made a decision because it's conduct detrimental to the league, whether they were convicted or not.
Put them immediately on the commissioner's exempt list, figure out how it all plays out. The Texans have been making tons of moves today in free agency, nothing bigger than the addition of Case Keenum. The salary is out on Case Keenum, a two-year, $6.25 million deal. So he's going to get $3 million in change for Case Keenum.
Perfect. Great deal.
Perfect backup quarterback to have in that room grooming first-round quarterback. The Texans today have been willing and dealing. They've signed a bunch of backups. Robert Woods, Andrew Beck, Mike Boone, Chase Winovich, Case Keenum, and the latest and greatest is Hassan the Green Mile Ridgeway. That's his nickname, according to Pro Football Reference. Ridgeway, a big defensive tackle, actually started 7 games last year with San Francisco, so it makes sense that D'Amico Ryans would want him. It's a $4 million one-year deal. I think this is a guy who eats space, that eats space in the middle of the defensive line. He's 6'3", 305. He's a big dude. The Texans need some help in the middle. This is not a splash. This is a body. But, hey, it's a shrewd signing. You get D'Amico, somebody that he's comfortable with, that he knows. The Texans' run defense last year was abysmal, and it looks like Ridgeway at least is a massive human being in the middle of a defensive line.
And it's another version of Niners East. I mean, you get a guy that – and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, as much as we looked at Patriot South as a negative, Niners East right now has no track record of it being a negative. I like the fact that – these guys who want to establish themselves from the jump as being able to, you know, analyze and bring in and coach talent, know guys that they want to see here because it's going to help them. It's going to help the team. It's going to help the player involved. So I'm fine with all that. And they're not overspending on any of them. And now even if they do on some of them, depending on who they are and what position they play, there's some guys we talked about that are out there that could make sense on the defensive unit to pay a little bit more for that could be very good for your defense.
Malik Collins in 305 pounds of a dude who started 7 games for the San Francisco 49ers is probably the best defensive tackle tandem the Houston Texans have had in quite some time. Not a great day for Roy Lopez, though, because I imagine that Ridgeway is not going to come in here and be a backup to the salsa dancing Roy Lopez. Kevin
you
Porter
loved him
Jr.
first year.
I thought he was good for where they picked him.
A great find at where they got him.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than a 6-round draft pick. I didn't think he was like NFL starting caliber.
I'm just saying, you love the find and the fact that he performed.
He's a shrewd hire. He's not a starter. Anyways, Kevin Porter Jr., we all saw this viral video where he quit on a play and whenever he didn't get the basketball. There's Lionel Hollins that was yelling at him apparently too in the second quarter when he came out of the game most recently. All of the casuals are starting to see a little bit more of who Kevin Porter Jr. really is.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from months ago. They're going to see a lot more, and they're lucky they haven't seen and heard of and know every bit of what's happened since Kevin Porter joined the Houston Rockets organization. We don't have enough time in the day, let alone in this segment, to get into all this, but at a certain point, I've said over numerous times now, it's time to move on from Kevin Porter Jr., and if that's even before you get another point guard, and the damage has already been done in a lot of ways, and he leads the league in turnovers. Turn the page.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Joe George, assistant to the regional manager, doing all the hard work for Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, at least Blankers will, from Highland Pines out in the Spring area. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.